Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. It is October 19th. I'm Vanessa Dunha-Garmo, filling in for one more day this week here for my sister, Teresa Tomeo. She'll be back in her host chair tomorrow and for the rest of the week here on Catholic Connection and EWTN Radio Network. Happy to be with all of you again. We have a couple of wonderful guests coming up joining us here on Catholic Connection. So Father Edward Looney will be joining us. Father Edward is a Marian theologian and a Catholic author and speaker who serves as a parish priest in the Diocese of Green Bay, and he hosts the podcast How They Love Mary. He is the author of several books, including A Heart Like Mary's. He has contributed to numerous publications, including the Catholic Digest, and has been on EWTN TV and radio, and here, obviously, on Catholic Connection with us this morning. He has a bachelor's degree in philosophy, and he'll be joining us today to talk about his latest book, Behold the Handmaid of the Lord, and his other book is A Heart Like Mary. So it is the month of October. It is the month of our Mother Mary. We'll be talking with Father Looney here today about his books, the latest Behold the Handmaid of the Lord, and what we need to do in this month of Mary as Catholics, right? How do we pray the rosary? How do we increase our relationship and have a devotion to our Mother Mary and ultimately leading us to Christ, right? She is a gateway to Christ. She helps us in our prayer life as we meditate on Holy Scripture, right? Meditate on the mysteries and leading us to her Son. And considered by many to be the greatest book of the Marian spirituality in one volume, True Devotion to Mary is St. Louis de Montfort's classic statement on the spiritual way to Jesus Christ through the Blessed Virgin Mary. And Behold a Handmaid of the Lord, Marian theologian Father Edward Looney masterfully summarizes the central teachings of St. Louis in a 10-day personal retreat that will bless even those who have completed the full devotion. During the course of 10 days, you'll explore 10 different titles for Mary popularized by the saint, and each presents a distant aspect of her motherhood and protection while illuminating the spiritual path to Jesus through Mary. So that's what we'll be talking about here this morning with Father Edward Looney. You'll get to know Mother Mary and become devoted to her as the Queen of all Saints, Our Lady of the Holy Trinity, the New Eve, the Mother of the Interior Life, the Mother of Disciples, the Star of the Sea, the Queen of all Hearts, the Mold of God, and Our Mother and Our Queen. Each day you'll reflect on Mary's role in your life and the practical implications of that connection before wrapping up with the brief closing prayer tailored to each day's title. You'll come away prepared to begin a renew your consecration to Mary and with a refreshed love for the Mother of Jesus. So the book includes a step-by-step consecration to Mary too, which is we'll talk with Father Edward Looney about as well this morning. And you know, ever since I became a mom more than 14 years ago, I've had a devotion to Mother Mary, really asking her to guide me as a mother, because we know that our children don't come with instruction manuals. You know, we do our best. We pray, we discern, we raise our kids with love, but with sternness, true. You know, we're here to guide them and on their path and lead them to Christ and help them build a life centered on Christ and on solid ground, right? Built their life on a rock, on truth and scripture. And so we need help, right? You know, I pray to Mother Mary all the time to guide me as a wife and a mother. And I think it's so important. During the month of October, maybe we all can pray and discern about how, you know, God is calling us, what direction he's leading us, and ask Mother Mary to pray with us. And we know the importance of praying the rosary. Mother Mary has talked about that in her apparitions, especially in the one in Fatima, about how we need to pray the rosary every single day. And again, these are, we're really meditating on the mysteries, on Scripture. This is all about Jesus Christ. You know, we don't adore Mary. You know, we go into adoration in Jesus Christ. We honor Mary as our mother, and we pray with her and ask her for intercessory prayer to guide us in this world, right? And to guide us closer in a relationship with her son, Jesus Christ. That is what that is our relationship with Mary. So we'll talk with Father Edward Looney about his latest book and about our relationship with our mother, Mary. And then Dan Gaynor will be joining us, Vice President of the Media's Research Center, Free Speech America, to discuss a new report from Free Speech America detailing Google's removal of the About section, search results, biographies for a number of past Republican presidents, including any mention of former President Donald Trump's four-year term in office. So as of October 1st, 2021, so this year, this past month, this month we're living in right now, every U.S. president had some mention of their term in office in their respective About sections on Google. So their About section talked about their presidency. So an aide of President Trump has specified that this discovery will be included in the lawsuit against big tech. So this is, again, another example of the cancel culture that we're living in today. Google, you know, removing the About section of President Trump and other past Republican presidents, another way to control the narrative and control history, control truth, right? You know, not wanting truth out there, wanting what they believe to be true out there, and wanting you to believe what they believe. And this is history. This is history. This is part of who we are. So they're trying to remove history. So as of October 1st, Donald Trump was the only U.S. president who did not have some indication of his presidential office in his About section. Every U.S. president had either a mention of his presidential office in his biography or presidential term years listed. President Abraham Lincoln has since joined Trump in the Google memory hole and no longer has either a biography or a presidential term enlisting. They're trying to change history here. They don't want us to know the truth. They don't want us to have American history documented. This is another example of cancel culture and controlling the agenda and the narrative. However you feel about Donald Trump, however you feel about Abraham Lincoln, it's still part of our American history. It's still part of who we are. This is so ridiculous. And I don't care what you believe, what side of the aisle, political aisle you are on, this is a dangerous path to go down. Very dangerous. This is not the America that was founded, the freedom of speech and freedom of religion that we have. This is canceling out anybody who doesn't believe the way they believe. And one day, you're going to be in this group. There's going to be something that they have an agenda about and you're going to disagree with, and now you're going to be on this side looking in. Everybody needs to stand up against this. I don't care how you feel about Donald Trump or Abraham Lincoln. This is not about the politics. This is about our freedom in this country and trying to cancel out anybody who doesn't agree with this agenda. We all should be scared. We all should be worried, and we all should be standing up against this, because that is about what this country was built on. Our Judeo-Christian beliefs, and they're trying to cancel that out every chance they can get. It is 9 minutes past the hour. I'm Vanessa Dunn-Hagarmo, filling in for Teresa Tamio. It's time to get to the news. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is remembering the late Colin Powell.
We remember and honor a man who truly dedicated his entire life to serving his country.
He did so while speaking on the Senate floor. The Kentucky Republican then went to discuss rising inflation and how everyday costs for Americans like gas and groceries continue to jump. McConnell says Democrats want the government to print more money and put the burden on families that already can't afford it. He added that with winter approaching, energy bills are going to jump more than 50% compared to last year. McConnell said the Democrat strategy makes no sense and it isn't what American families want. want. The fight over the strictest abortion law in the nation is headed back to the Supreme Court. Justices allowed the law to begin last month, banning women from ending their pregnancy after 6 weeks. Now the Justice Department wants them to stop it while a legal challenge plays out. In papers filed yesterday, the court was urged to hear the case this year. Mississippi's abortion law is already scheduled to be heard in December. The FDA reportedly will let Americans who are vaccinated against the coronavirus to switch to a different vaccine for their booster. NBC's Megan Fitzgerald reports.
It comes after researchers found antibody levels for Johnson & Johnson recipients increased 76 times 15 days after receiving a Moderna shot. Approval may come as soon as Wednesday, alongside the expected authorization of Moderna and J&J's booster shot.
That would make millions more Americans eligible for COVID-19 booster shots. Government workers in the Pacific Northwest, including law enforcement officers, could soon lose their jobs as coronavirus vaccine mandates take effect. Michael Kastner reports.
The president of the Seattle Police Guild Union says he expects a mass exodus of officers when the vaccine mandate comes into effect. Washington State Patrol officers sued Governor Jay Inslee, claiming his vaccine mandate overstepped his legal authority and violated their rights. A judge ruled on Monday that Inslee acted legally. Elsewhere, Oregon State Police troopers tried to temporarily pause the vaccine mandate that took effect Monday night after a judge rejected their request earlier this month. In Portland, Oregon, I'm Michael Kastner.
Country music icon Travis Tritt is canceling a handful of upcoming shows where guests are asked to either show their COVID-19 vaccination card or a negative test. His team released a statement saying vaccinations or any sort of COVID testing will not be tolerated. Back in August, Tritt called it discrimination. One person is in custody after a Chicago police officer was shot. CPD Superintendent David Brown says the shooting happened yesterday after an altercation broke out inside an Ulta beauty store.
People inside the beauty store called police because someone was acting erratic inside the store. Police immediately responded, and the person then got into a struggle with our officer.
The struggle continued in the parking lot where the person shot the officer in the face. The officer was treated and released from the hospital, and the suspected shooter was arrested. Haitians in the capital, Port-au-Prince, are on general strike to protest insecurity and gang violence after a group of mostly American missionaries were kidnapped. NBC's Sam Brock says protests are also going on in Florida.
Protesters here are demanding that the U.S. do something about the escalating violence in Haiti, where there are still 17 people missing, 16 Americans, five of whom are children. We're getting new information from the federal government about teams they're sending on the ground, but few details about what they are actually doing.
Burning tire barricades were set up in the streets of Port-au-Prince Monday amid a worsening security crisis since the assassination of the president in July and a powerful earthquake not long after. The FBI and the State Department are working to locate and free the Ohio-based missionaries abducted over the weekend while visiting an orphanage. They were taken by a group called 400 Maozo, one of the powerful gangs that effectively run the streets of the island nation. Grocery shoppers are being warned of higher prices and possible food shortages, but the CEO of Albertsons promises it won't be anything like the early days of the pandemic. He says alternatives are being provided for items that aren't available and assures they're gearing up to have everything stocked for a full Thanksgiving feast. Amazon will be hiring tens of thousands of people from coast to coast to get packages processed and delivered this holiday season. Rory O'Neill reports.
Amazon is looking to hire 150,000 people to meet the shopping and shipping demand this holiday season. The online retailer says average starting pay is $18 an hour, with sign-on bonuses for some jobs and additional wages for certain shifts. Amazon says many of its seasonal workers come back year after year to earn some holiday cash, while other temp workers have gone on to full-time permanent jobs with the company.
It is 14 minutes past the hour. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tamio this morning. Coming up after the break, Father Edward Looney will be joining us.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta.
And I'm Steve Ray, and we're inviting you to join us on a pilgrimage to the birthplace of Catholicism in America.
From November 1st through the 4th, we'll go to St. Augustine, Florida, visit the site of the first Mass, and see the first Marian shrine.
Be sure to sign up now, because slots for this pilgrimage are filling fast. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Travel tab, or go to CatholicConvert.com and click on the Travel tab.
And we'll look forward to seeing you in November.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio this morning here on Catholic Connection. It is the month of Mary, and we're going to be talking about the month of Mary and with Father Edward Looney, a Marian theologian and Catholic author and speaker who serves as a parish priest in the Diocese of Green Bay and the host of the podcast How They Love Mary. He's the author of several books, including A Heart Like Mary, and his latest book, Behold the Handmaid of the Lord. Dr. Looney, how are you today?
Well, it's very good to be with you, and it's a beautiful day where I'm at today.
That's great. It's beautiful here in Michigan today. And so what inspired you, Father, to write this next book, Behold the Handmaid of the Lord?
You know, it wasn't a book that I ever set out to write. It was actually one of those books where a publisher comes to you and they say, would you be interested in writing this? And I actually resisted it. I said no two or three times, and they kept coming back. And I said, if I say yes, will you stop asking me that? And so that's really what inspired me, the invitation. But I would say my own experience with St. Louis de Montfort's true devotion to Mary was one of the motivating factors to say yes. And just as a priest and a Marian theologian, I field lots of questions from people at talks that I give, and then when parishes do like 33 Days to Morning Glory with Father Michael Gately's book, or if someone kind of reads or wants to do the St. Louis de Montfort method, sometimes there's a lot of questions that arise, and I often have thought that people aren't prepared to just jump into kind of the pool of Marian thought that's presented by Louis de Montfort or Father Michael Gately, for example, that they needed a book to help them to understand the theology of Mary and what they're trying to say. So that was really my aim then in writing the book, was to give people a good groundwork to understand, well, what does St. Louis de Montfort mean when he talks about Mary as spouse of the Holy Spirit? Or what does he mean about giving everything to Mary?
Mm-hmm. So can you kind of give us an overview or just a background about St. Louis de Montfort and his devotion to Mary so people can kind of understand of how you put this book together?
Yeah, so St. Louis de Montfort was really a famed preacher in France in the 17th century. And he would go around and he would preach in different parishes. He would do these missions. And really then the true devotion to Mary book that we have is really the fruit of a lot of these preaching missions that he did. And in these missions, too, he really wanted to bring the people to a renewal of their baptismal promises. And that's how St. Louis de Montfort views Marian consecration, as a renewal of our baptismal promises then. So as he goes about his life. He writes, so he's written several books. He wrote The Secrets of the Rosary. He wrote, there's a whole collective volume.
Oh, did we lose Father Edward Looney? We're talking with Father Edward Looney, Behold the Handmaid of the Lord, I think. Did we lose him, Andrew? Okay. I think we lost him for a second. Let's see if Andrew can reconnect with Father Edward Looney. Do you hear me, Father Edward?
I'm still here.
Okay, we lost you for a second. You dropped out.
Okay, sorry.
Just maybe back connect. Oh, it's okay. We're continuing with St. Louis de Montfort's devotion to Mary and how Father Edward Looney has kind of really premised this whole book on a 10-day personal retreat with St. Louis de Montfort's true devotion to Mary and what that means.
Yeah, so the true devotion book then was actually one that was lost. It was never published during his life. It was discovered in kind of like an attic room in a box of the religious order he founded. And so that's how we get this treasure book of true devotion to Mary that's been so influential in the lives of the saints. St. John Paul II takes his motto, Totus Tuus, from the writing of St. Louis de Montfort. So he really attributes a lot to the influence of the theology of St. Louis de Montfort and his own papacy.
Mm. You know, and what does it mean for us? Like, why is this important, Father Edward Looney, to have a devotion to our Mother Mary, to pray the rosary, and to have a consecration? What that really means? What is a consecration, and why is it important for us?
Yeah, so the way that I view consecration is that it's us really standing at the foot of the cross with Jesus as he's there, and Mary is there, and John the Beloved is there. And Jesus from the cross says, Behold your mother. And it says in the scriptures that John immediately takes Mary into his home. And really, that's what I view Mary and consecration as. It's us saying, why, yes, I want Mary to be my spiritual mother. I want her to be my advocate and my intercessor. And so it's really us saying yes to that invitation of Jesus for her to be our mother. And because she's with God in heaven, because she is this wonderful intercessor, that's something that we want. And as God has chosen to give grace through the intercession of Mary, well, then we can return everything back to Jesus through her hands as well.
Mm. You know, this is the year of St. Joseph, and my husband and I did a consecration to St. Joseph. And I just thinking how important it is to invite the Holy Family into your home and have the Holy Family present in your home through those consecrations and through imagery, too, and praying the rosary together as a family.
Yeah, most definitely. And that's the beautiful thing about Fatima that we just celebrated. We had the miracle of the sun on October 13th, and the Holy Family was there. Joseph and Mary and the child Jesus were there in that final apparition, or even in the apparition in Knock, Ireland, the Holy Family is there. So to hold up this example of the Holy Family for families today is something that's very much needed. And so we... I remember Pope Paul VI, or St. Paul VI now. He has this beautiful reflection in which he really invites us to think about the home life of Jesus and Mary and Joseph and what that was like. And as we imagine it then, how can we incorporate aspects of that home life into our own lives as well?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's also, too, part of the planting seeds for your family, too. Father Looney, I remember growing up, and we had, like, you know, our dining room wasn't a traditional dining room. It was more of like a shrine to Mother Mary with a statue and the rosaries. And my parents lived very prayerful lives. My dad went to church every day, you know, daily mass. And those things planted seeds. As a kid, you're just like, oh, whatever. You don't think you're paying attention, or, you know, you kind of think your parents sometimes are weird, like, okay, you know, all right, we have to pray the rosary. But those all plant the seeds, you know, for our children. And to me, it's so important today now as a wife and mother to let people know that when they walk into my home, this is a Christian home. This is a Catholic home. You know, you're going to see, you know, Jesus and Mary and Joseph present in my home. Can you speak to that importance of sending that message and even having that in our home to remind our children to plant those seeds, you know, that will grow?
Yeah, you know, as we pray the rosary, for example, as families, October is the month of the rosary. And it's a beautiful practice to do so with your children. And this is what Father Patrick Peyton, the saintly Holy Cross father, said, that that the family that prays together stays together, and it communicates something to the child then, saying that prayer is important. So, you know, if this is one of the things as a pastor that bothers me the most, is that I know families that are going to kids' sporting events and all of these things, but yet where are they on Sunday morning? And so they pick and choose when they come to Sunday Mass. Well, that communicates a message to the child. So we really want to send this message of nothing is more important than the sacraments, nothing is more important than prayer. And so when you have that routine, it's communicating that. And they'll come back to it many years from now, for sure.
We're talking with Father Edward Looney. We'll take a quick break and continue our conversation about his book, Behold, The Handmaid of the Lord. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades, and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
It's as though the secular press has to shoehorn matters concerning fidelity or infidelity to church teaching into political labels of conservative versus liberal. And those political dichotomies are not entirely meaningless, but they most usually distort the discussion. This discussion is about receiving Christ worthily. And that is not a political discussion. And by the way, this discussion is not even new. If you go back to 1998, they also addressed the question of it from living the gospel of life. Again in 2006, in Happier Those Who Are Called to His Supper. For Pope Francis, he drafted, when he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires, the Aparecida document. The U.S. bishops are now forced to address this problem because we have now a Catholic president who is receiving Holy Communion, while at the same time he is a champion of expanded abortion rights.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Behold, the Handmaid of the Lord, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion to Mary, written by Father Edward Looney, is the book, and that's who we're talking to this morning here on Catholic Connection. Father Looney, how do we get the book?
Yeah, it's published by Ave Maria Press, so you could buy it directly from the publisher or wherever you buy Catholic books, of course. I always recommend going to your local Catholic bookstore just because they're a great resource to have. And there have been times where I've wanted to get a book right away. I didn't want to wait for the Amazon 2-day or 3-day shipping. And so I went to the local Catholic bookstore and went home with the book in hand. So they're a beautiful apostolate that we have, that if we don't support them, we're going to lose them. So that would be a great way to support local Catholic stores.
That's a great point. We have a wonderful local Catholic bookstore right here across the hall from Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And I really encourage you to do that. Find a Catholic bookstore in your area and get the book. And we're coming into the holiday season, Father Looney, and this is a great stocking stuffer, Christmas gift to get somebody, and maybe a gift to really prompt dialogue in the family. Maybe you direct the conversation at the Thanksgiving dinner or the Christmas dinner surrounded by Mother Mary and this book. And because we know that sometimes these conversations with families can get a little toxic. And so maybe you lead the conversation and talk about Behold the Handmaid of the Lord, a 10-day personal retreat with St. Louis de Montfort's True Devotion, and really guide your family's conversation this holiday season.
Yeah, that could be a way to start religious conversation. And, you know, the days of the book kind of focus on different aspects. So, for example, Our Lady of the Holy Trinity. So I model it off of different titles of Mary. And so the idea was there to communicate what St. Louis de Montfort taught about those things. So you have Mary's relationship to the Trinity, or Mary's relationship as one who conquers evil. And so if the conversation goes to talking about evil or whatever in the world, the things that are going on, well, then you could talk about how Mary and prayer to her can help to overcome that and can squash evil because she's the new Eve, for example.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a good point, Father. And speak to us about the different titles of Mary that you talk about in the book, the new Eve, the mother of the interior life, the mother of the disciples, the star of the sea, and the relevance and the importance of that.
Yeah, so those were just little titles that I guess helped me thematically arrange the book around what I saw as the theology of St. Louis de Montfort. So I listened to the audiobook 3 or 4 times, and I said, how am I going to write this book? And then it was really the last time that I did it that this idea of, well, there are so many different titles that St. Louis de Montfort uses that we have in our Catholic tradition, so let's use those. And that's really then became my guiding force. And we talk about Mother of Disciples. And St. Louis de Montfort has a beautiful section in True Devotion about, you know, how do you love the Blessed Mother? Like, are you a false devotee or are you a true devotee? And so that's where I kind of make the connection of what he's teaching there and what that looks like for us then as disciples of the Lord that we're called to be, and how that can be reflected in our own lives. So those titles really just become guides then to navigate the writings of St. Louis de Montfort.
So you also include in the book a reflection on Mary's role in our own lives and the practical implications of that connection, being wrapped up in a closing prayer tailored to the day's title. So speak with us about how we can make this, practical in our own life.
Yeah, so with Mary and consecration, so this book isn't the consecration book itself. This is the introduction to it, in a sense. And so then someone would do True Devotion to Mary. So this book is just a way to introduce and to give the language then of the prayer. And then to really have this awareness that, why, yes, I am a child of the Blessed Mother, and I can talk to her, and she will pray for me. And so I think once we have that awareness, and then we renew that consecration, Mary, I give you my life today and every day. And just living in that moment then with Mary and talking to her as our mother.
So, Father Looney, how does the book Behold the Handmaid of the Lord differ from the book you wrote, A Heart Like Mary's?
You know, that's a great question. And it seems that they're very good companion books, and both were written with the same intention. So I was really struggling with Father Michael Gately's 33 Days to Morning Glory, because all these people were picking it up. They were trying to read it. They had all of these questions. I'm like, they don't know the person of Mary yet. And so A Heart Like Mary's was to introduce people to the biblical person of Mary and what that looks like for us then, how we can have a heart like Mary's, and reflecting on those different attributes of her heart. And so it's interesting because that was kind of introduce people to Mary, and now this is introduce people to St. Louis de Montfort, so, and his theology. So they were both written, I would say, as introductory books for this very purpose of Marian consecration.
So what are you hoping, Father Edward Looney, that the readers really take away from each book, Behold the Handmaid of the Lord and A Heart Like Mary's?
Well, especially for Behold a Handmaid of the Lord, I really hope that people will give St. Louis de Montfort a second chance. It's interesting because review copies of the book went out last month, and some of the reviews that came back were, I gave up on St. Louis de Montfort. I tried reading True Devotion, and then they they said, this is the book that's going to help me rediscover St. Louis de Montfort, is a powerful saying and has so many great, you know, quotable phrases that if you listen to them, they really can change your life. So that's really what I hope, that people will rediscover this classical work. And in doing so, then they'll have a heart like Mary's as well and try to live like Mary in the world.
So, Father Lully, when you pen these books, these two books, how does it influence your life? How does it strengthen your relationship with Mother Mary as you go through the process of writing these books?
Yeah, actually, funny enough, today I just finished a book for next year on the Blessed Mother. So one of the things I realize is that as I'm writing these things, sometimes they give me something new to do or incorporate or to think about myself. I always realize after the fact that I needed this book so that I could rediscover St. Louis de Montfort and that I could reappreciate him, just as I want others to do so. So sometimes, you know, they say that the preacher sometimes preaches to himself, but I think the author does the same thing, that the author writes. And I know several authors that say, I wrote this book because I didn't understand it, and I wanted to try to understand it. And so that's why they wrote a book about it. So that's really where I'm at with this.
It's so true, Father Lully, because I write Christ-centered communication messages that I've been writing since 2012, and it airs on Ave Maria Radio locally in Michigan and around the globe and on YouTube. I have them in print, television, and radio format. And it's because I really wanted to understand how to communicate like a Christian. What would Jesus say, so to speak? So I started writing these thinking, okay, what would Jesus say in this moment? So I totally get it. And so I've been writing those for several years now. So again, we have about 30 seconds left with you. How do we get the book again?
Well, of course, Ave Maria Press, your local Catholic bookstore, or you're on EWTN, so get it at the religious catalog.
Thank you so much. We're going to continue the conversation. Thank you, Father Lully, for being with us and sharing the story of our Mother Mary and the books that you've written about her. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to continue our conversation after the break.
Sixty Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa.
The state has responsibility to orient things, but they can't take over the rights of the family, like in China, to have one child and that's it. It's a disaster over there. How many tens of millions of abortions have gone on? And one of the things that, as a result of that, is because of the preference to have boy children rather than girls, you have, for every 1,000 boys, there are 850 girls. This is a great imbalance. Same thing is going on in northern India. So this is where the government cannot take away the primary and inalienable responsibility of married couples and families. And they cannot employ methods which fail to respect the person and fundamental human rights. Beginning with the right to life, the government cannot force you to kill innocent human beings and still be a humanistic government. It's an evil government.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is the logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world. Once a woman said to me,
God doesn't exist. No one's ever seen him.
Where'd that come from?
What?
That thought.
That God doesn't exist?
Yes.
I just thought it.
Then it doesn't exist.
What doesn't exist?
Your thought, because I couldn't see it.
Come on, you know what I mean.
Well, I couldn't believe in a God I could see anyway.
Why not?
I want a real God that's capable of seeing everything, even into the future, and all at once. A God that's beyond this physical world and being seen.
Well, I admit that'd be a God to be appreciated.
And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Welcome back to Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio here this morning. She'll be back into her host chair tomorrow and the rest of the week here. And Happy to be with all of you. Now we're continuing our conversation. Joining us now is Dan Gaynor, Vice President of Media Research Center's Free Speech America, to discuss a new report about detailing Google's removal of the About section search results biographies for a number of past Republican presidents, including President Donald Trump. Dan, just another way to cancel the culture.
Yeah, for people who don't, if you Google any president of the United States, they're at the top of the page it will say they're president. But then they have a section called the About section. Lots of famous people have these. Many of them have little bios. Some of them have photos. And if you're a world leader, it usually lists the term of service. Pretty standard stuff. They draw a lot of it from Wikipedia, which, of course, is inherently flawed because Wikipedia is leftist and corrupt. But then you look, when we first started the story, Donald Trump was the only president that didn't say that he was president in the About section. Then, as we were working on it, apparently they played games, and then it became Trump and my favorite president, Abraham Lincoln. So there's no mention of them being president, and there's no mention of their term of service as president. And in fact, in Lincoln's case, it doesn't even say he's a Republican.
Yeah.
This is
what's the agenda? Let's make it clear, Dan, to our listeners. What's the agenda behind this?
Well, the agenda is, this is what I guess what Orwell would call memory holing. If you can gradually just make somebody disappear, then, it's just one more way in which you delete their impact. Remember, Donald Trump is, by all appearances, running for president of the United States again in 2024. The big tech heavily involved in stopping him in 2020 to the point where they censored stories that would have hurt his opponent. And since then, he's been removed by 10 different platforms, so he can't even build the foundation for his 2024 campaign.
Yeah. Oh, it's a definite clear agenda at play. I mean, they want him off social media, want him off Google. I mean, big tech, if you have not figured this out already, big tech is controlling the narrative in this country. And ultimately, when you control the narrative, you control. I mean, control.
Yeah, only change I'd make to that is it's not just this country. Big tech.
Oh, yeah, it's global.
Big tech can influence the leadership of every single, supposedly free nation in this world. And simple, and for Google, it's very easy to do. There's some detailed analysis done about this. And if you simply change the front page, so let's say you and I were running against each other for election, and Google decided it liked you. And so all the mentions, when they search you, all your mentions are positive, and all my mentions are negative. Well, anybody who's a borderline, voter is going to look at that and say, well, this person's bad. Most people don't even click through to read them. So if they simply manipulate the front page of results, they can help determine how, a couple percent of voters, and that's millions of voters, a couple percent of voters, will be manipulated one way or the other.
Yeah, and that's the algorithm's true, and we know that to be true when it comes to social media, too, Dan. And I'm sure you saw the documentary Social Dilemma, where they design it so the algorithms are showing you information that get you upset so they continue this further divide. I mean, they're purposely showing you what they want to show you. They have control.
Well, yeah, and I mean, in some cases, like, for instance, Amazon's getting targeted a lot right now on Capitol Hill because Amazon shows its products more than it shows competing products. So, it's not a neutral thing. It's not about, this product's got 5 stars and the Amazon product's got 3. Well, it doesn't matter. Amazon's selling that one product, so you can expect that they're going to promote it. And yes, free speech, the Constitution, the First Amendment gives them the right to do this stuff. But you've got some of these companies, Facebook, Google, Amazon, they are so enormous and so enormously powerful now. It's something that in the past, when companies got this powerful, we reined them in. When the railroads got powerful, we broke them up. When Ma Bell got too big, we broke it up. You've got a situation where Facebook which has nearly 3 billion users, its number one competitor is Instagram, and they own that too.
Yeah. It's like a monopoly going on. I know. And they're all in line with the left, you know, with a particular agenda. And if you have a conservative voice, that's what's being canceled out quickly. You know, the conservative, I mean, look, they're canceling out the biographies of Republican presidents. I mean, it's just so ridiculous.
And it's not just, obviously, it's not just history, but when you control history, you know, you control the future.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, so we looked at how members of Congress are being treated, and we looked and we came up with 54-1 Republicans being censored versus Democrats being censored on Capitol Hill. And the one Democrat that got censored, within like a couple hours, Facebook had restored the content and apologized publicly. It's just a treatment that Republicans never get.
No, I know. And you said the operative word here. This is all about control. I mean, and it's global control. You're right. It's global. This is all about control. This is what's happening around the world, how to control the narrative and the behavior of everybody else. And it's being done through big tech.
Yeah. And, you know, we see it. If you're not on social media, you may not, or not much on social media, you may think it doesn't matter a lot. But look at how much your kids, your grandkids are on. And so it affects how they view themselves. Congress has been big on that lately. The whole controversy about Instagram apparently making young girls very depressed and possibly suicidal.
Yeah.
It affects how they view the country, view the history. You know, everything that forms our worldview. And then on Twitter is where journalists and politicians and, you know, influencers all hang out. And Twitter is wildly left-wing. They're all the time shutting down conservative accounts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've gotten not my account shut down, but some of my tweets shut down. And it wasn't anything controversial. It was like literally posting about a Catholic conference or a Catholic event. And it was just taken down. It was just Twitter wouldn't allow it. So, yeah, I mean, and then when you say this to people, they totally challenge you. That's not true. That's not happening. I can't tell you how many people, I'll post something on Facebook and it stay up and people were like, that is not true. I'm like, when's the last time you posted something about Catholicism or a retreat or a conference and it got taken down? Well, I don't post that stuff. So how do you know then? I mean, you're not experiencing it because you're not posting anything like that, because the way you think and believe is the way the big tech thinks and believe, and you're in line with their agenda. So they're not taking anything you say down.
And the top two ways that social media censor content, obviously the worst is anything related to COVID-19.
Oh, yeah.
Where they ram through a narrative, and I mean, that's just not science. And they say, well, we're pro-science, and then they ram through a narrative where you're not allowed to object to it, which is the foundation of the scientific method.
Yeah.
And then the other is if you say anything about the elections. So they let Stacey Abrams complain that she thought the election was stolen in 2018 in Georgia. And they let Hillary Clinton say it about 2016. And, you know, I mean, that they're allowed, but if anybody else brings it up, oh, well, then you're fomenting insurrection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's really scary what's happening in the world today. You know, when I was a journalist, and we're going to take a break, but when I was in journalism school, our professor said, you're going to become the most powerful people in the world because you can break and make people, right? You control the power of the pen, you know, the power of the ink, you know. I didn't realize that what that would mean now 30 years later, the power of what's going on, because nobody knew about social media back 30 years ago. We're going to continue this conversation with Dan Gaynor this morning, Vice President of Media Research Center's Free Speech America, to discuss these reports and what's going on in the world with Google and all the other big tech companies. Stay with us, everyone.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call.
Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely assents to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu.
The EWTN home video highlight for October is They Might Be Saints, Father Michael McGivney. Miracle hunter Michael O'Neill follows the trail of Father Michael McGivney, founder of the Knights of Columbus and America's first parish priest to be beatified. This documentary explores the miraculous cure that led to Father McGivney's beatification. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
There is so much to talk with Dan Gaynor about, but we only have a few minutes left here on Catholic Connection. We're continuing our conversation about this cancel culture and the big tech having so much control over the narrative and what Google is doing to remove history from Google and the biographies of past presidents, including, well, Republican presidents, that is. And so, Dan, you know, it is very stressful. You know, I look at my picture of Jesus every single day and pray to get me through the day because there's so much craziness going on in the world. And, the agenda to deny truth, you know, to change the narrative, and you can't challenge anything, like you said, even the science. I remember early on during the pandemic, and I posted a question. I merely posted a question, okay, asking doctors of what they thought of other these doctors in California that were reported on by ABC News affiliate challenging Fauci, and I could not believe the attacks. I could not believe it. And I was just merely posing a question. I'm like, when did it become a crime to pose a question?
Well, and I mean, then you've got people who are censored for, you know, oh, we didn't like what you reported. Alex Berenson, who used to work at the New York Times, was shut down on Twitter because he, you know, raised questions about the vaccine. Now, I've got the vaccine. I'm not anti-vax, but I'm anti, you know, silence. And then, you know, you look at his own news or former news organization, New York Times. He did a big story on the World Health Organization at the end of 2020. And the story pointed out that this whole World Health Organization narrative about open borders during a pandemic is neither based in science nor medicine. In fact, it's simply leftist agenda. Now, New York Times didn't say leftist agenda, but they did say agenda. That said, you know, that this isn't founded in anything science, but the New York Times can get away with it. If you and I do that, then we get censored. And so that, yeah, you know, it furthers this idea that there's only a, you know, that there's a select group of people who are allowed to raise questions. And if you don't raise the right question, or if you're not the right person, then, you know, you're totally censored.
Yeah. I know, and that's not freedom in this country, and we have lost the ability to dialogue, and I truly believe that's coming from, you know, the enemy. I mean, the enemy wants to divide us. He does not want it to unite us, and any time somebody stops dialogue, remember, that's coming from a place of darkness.
Well, because if you wanted to create the biggest division in history, I mean, all you have to do is go back, you know, to the Garden of Eden,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, The idea was Adam and Eve and the tree of knowledge. Right now with the internet, we have close to infinite knowledge. There's no tree of wisdom we're drinking from. So you can find out, you can see videos of people that you know doing awful things, or clips where it looks like maybe they said something wrong or did something wrong, or the brief post and everybody mobs them. And there's no wisdom about how to deal with it. You know, we all do bad things, every single one of us. And we all sin, and we all, you know, and whether you're sad about it, whether you want to, you know, confess it or not, we all do these things. So if this is going to be in our face for the rest of our lives, we need to come to terms with how to handle that and not, you know, turn everyone into a pariah simply because they said a wrong thing once.
Hmm. It's crazy. So what do we do? We have a couple minutes left here with you, and I know we can't wrap this up in a couple of minutes, Dan. We'll have to obviously have you back on. But what can we do in the meantime? How do we stand up for truth?
Well, the first thing is everyone needs to understand the game. If you're on social media and something gets taken down, you file an appeal. Appeals go, you know, may go to liberal people, but they go to people. A lot of this stuff is being taken down by AI, which is basically computer programs written by people. So some of the stuff is silly. Some nonprofit had their account frozen on Facebook simply because they post a picture of a bird. I mean, it's just like, who knows why, but it flagged it for some reason. So if you have to appeal. If you get censored for anything that looks substantive, you know, faith, you post about the Bible or post about Catholicism or something, you should reach out to us and go to censortrack.org, C-E-N-S-O-R, track.org, and just because we track the censorship. And so there's a form at the bottom of the page. You can fill it out, send it to us, and we'll get back to you. Save images. If you know how to save images on your computer, save images of what the, you know, the comments that they send you. If they send you an alert saying, oh, you've been, you know, you posted this, you're suspended for 3 days or whatever, save that stuff. You know, the more that we know, the more we can do about it, particularly when it looks like it is targeted about faith.
Dan Gaynor, thank you so much for joining us here on Catholic Connection and sharing this information with all of us. And thanks for tuning in here to Catholic Connection. Pleasure filling in for Teresa Tamio. She'll be back tomorrow. God bless.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.